I want to, you know, this is a healing school, and I want Pastor Bev just to come. I just want you to share about the man that got healed this weekend. Just it'll just encourage people as we pray for the sick. I mean, God just does things. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I was at a conference out in Baltimore, Maryland last weekend, and I ministered at a church on Sunday. And I was doing like corporate deliverance. And there was a man sitting in the audience. He's just this really big guy. And he was just sitting there, and he was really kind of rigid and stiff. And as I was looking at him and watching over the crowd, as I was, and you know, it was really cool because the Holy Spirit was just calling out specifics by a word of knowledge of what was in the audience. And so as I was praying, the whole time this guy just sat there, and I thought, he is really not engaging with me very much. And, you know, because we need to engage, you know? We need to get involved in what the word is that's coming out. Well, he was engaging, but I didn't realize it because he was so stiff and hard-looking, and all of a sudden, he started rubbing his legs, and then, because it was like God began to do some things in him, and then he started turning his neck and going like this, and all of a sudden, he gets up and gets out of the chair and starts walking, and he's turning his body, and his pastor thought he was manifesting, and all of a sudden, he's bending, and she asked him something, and he goes, I got healed. All the pain is gone. And, yeah, amen. And so he came up, and he bent over and probably about 10 times touched his toes. And, you know, I'm not even going to try to touch my toes. It would hurt the back of my legs if I did. But this man had screws down the back of his neck and spine, had plates in his spine, and he'd had surgery after surgery, and he was stiff and full of pain. And literally, as he sat in the audience, nobody laid hands on him, nobody did anything. He received a miracle.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why? Because he engaged with what was being spoken. He engaged with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. So engage.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As the word goes forth, there's
Amen.
A specific word for you.
Amen.
So engage.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Give God a hand. Hallelujah. Woo. Yeah. Hallelujah. And God won't do for that man what he won't do for you. I'm not telling you, just get your faith out there. There's a handout there called What About 2012. This was Kenneth Copeland gave this at the beginning of the year. And I thought this was just wonderful. I just wanted to read you part of it. It said, it tells us that there's going to be miracles like the first quarter of the year. Listen, people, we're still in the first quarter. But then I like this. It said, do not fear about the United States of America. Don't be in fear over the failure of this republic. This is not the time for this nation to fail. I'm not done with it yet. And it may surprise many. This nation is not done with me yet, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a job to do, and this will be the year like none other where this nation is concerned. We better pray, people. We better pray. I'm not kidding you. God is not going to do anything for us if we don't ask him. You understand? We need to pray. Well, I'm talking about the covenant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I ask you tonight, will you put faith in your covenant with God? If you have not been here for these, this is the third teaching. There are CDs out there, and we're not here to sell CDs. But you know what? This would be good to get. By the end, that we'll have them put all six in a package, and it's just so good. When I found out about the covenant, and I learned about that, that did more to enhance my life and to cause me to be more secure in who I was in Jesus than any other thing I've ever studied. It was just wonderful. So I just so appreciate that. But a covenant means to make an incision where blood flows. It always has to do with cutting, and a covenant was binding and could not be broken. Do you hear me? It could not be broken. We don't understand that kind of thing today because, you know what, sometimes they're broken before they even get signed. There are lawyers that are hired for nothing more than to find out how to get people out of covenants or out of contracts. We call them contracts now. people sign anything. Their word doesn't mean anything. There was a time in the United States where a handshake was all you needed. People, with Christian people, that ought to be the way it is now. It's a shame that Christian people cannot be trusted. And I'm not talking about anybody in here, but you probably know somebody, okay? I'm not kidding you. I hate it when people say, you know, if they're doing business with a pastor and they'll say, well, that man will cheat you. That's awful. That should never, or there's a Christian. Thank God we don't have a pastor like that. We have some good pastors in this city, and we have some good people. But people, we've got to begin to walk in holiness. We've got to begin to walk in integrity. I'm telling you, we have given the Lord a bad name, and it's about time we turn that around, okay? Come on, you can say amen a little louder than that. Amen. Hallelujah. But people will break a contract, marriage contracts. Now they tell me that marriage, divorce is as high in the church, or higher in the church for the first time, higher in the church than it is in the world. It's a shame, people. That ought not be. Just ought not be. And if you've been divorced, don't get under condemnation, but let's begin to turn this thing around. There's some times when divorce cannot be helped. We've seen times when people, there just was no other option but to get away from somebody who's cruel and mean. But people, we ought to set the example. You understand? If you borrow something, give it back. You know what? If you've borrowed something, don't just keep it. Give it back. Bless God. And you know what? Be a man or a woman of your word. Now, I know this is healing, but this will get you healed. Hallelujah. If you do things right. But anyway, there are lawyers that are just, that's all they do is find out how to get you out of a covenant or a contract. But I want to show you something. Every time an animal was killed for a blood sacrifice, either in sacrifice or in making a covenant, it was never killed representing death or punishment. It was never God punishing a man. It was always God delivering man, redeeming man. You understand? Hallelujah. That's what it was for. Glory to God. Man should have died, but instead blood was shed that man might live. I love this song we just sang about the blood. Bev and I were talking about that. Do you think the blood is stronger than cancer? If it's stronger than sin, bless God, it's stronger than cancer. Hallelujah. If it's stronger than sin, it's stronger than death. Glory to God. We don't have to take everything the devil comes along with. When the devil comes knocking at your door, let faith answer the door. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Instead, we let fear answer. And when you've got fear, the devil just walks right in. I talked to you about Job last week. And the thing he greatly feared had come upon him. But every time an animal was killed for a blood sacrifice, it never represented death or punishment. It was never God punishing a man. It was always God delivering man. Man should have died, but instead blood was shed that man might live. Hallelujah. Where'd we get the idea that God was against us and that it'd be a long stretch if any of us made it? Anybody ever feel like that? Listen, we were kind of taught like that. You know, it'd be a long stretch if you're going to make it. God's sitting up there with, nobody ever said this exactly, but that's the way you felt. He was a mean God, and he don't like you much anyway, and he's just about ready to pounce on you, so you better be careful. Where'd we ever get that idea? Religion. God loves us. He loves us. Hallelujah. See, God is not against us. When God made covenant, it was always so man could live. Hallelujah. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I know people who are not living abundant life. Glory to God. He said abundant to the overflow is what the Amplified says. Hallelujah. We ought to be shooting for that if you don't have it. Hallelujah. Bless God. So God wanted man to live. The Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Jesus was separated from the Father, cut off from the Abrahamic covenant for me. Isaiah said he made his grave with the wicked, cut off from his people. Which part, you know, which was part of the curse? It was. See, do you see that Jesus redeemed us from the curse? Jesus was cut off for me. He went to that length, got cut off for me. Come on, say he was cut off for me. Hallelujah. He was cut off from his people, which was a part of the curse of the law. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'm just showing you what lengths Jesus went to get your healing and deliverance. I want you to understand what was done. God loves you and he wants you to be healed. He wants you to be delivered. And he wants you to live with him forever. Hallelujah. He loves you. Do you think that he would pay such a price and then not want us? He wants us. And then would he pay such a price and let you be drugged through a knot hole by the devil backwards? Do you ever feel like you've been drugged through a knot hole backwards? Hallelujah. See, that's not God doing that. God wants us healed. He wants us well. Glory to God. But we believe more what we see and feel and can hear about than we believe what the Word of God says. If God made a covenant so I could be healed, then bless God, I'm going to get healed. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get healed. I don't care what it is. If it's my mind, if it's my body, my bones, whatever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Take that word. Don't let the devil kill you. Glory. See, Bev and I, we're so mad at the devil. We're mad at cancer. We're going to take cancer out. We are, because the Word of God says so. Hallelujah. Bless God. We look death in the face. But bless God, I'm going to tell you something. When we're looking it in the face, we don't say, oh, bless your little heart. I guess you're going to die. We say, you come out. I run up to the last breath. We tell death it has to come out. We tell death, you get off our people. In Jesus' name, the Word of God will work. Hallelujah. We just got to work it, people. We got to work it. Hallelujah. We got to possess. Hallelujah. You know what? He gave the land. He gave the land of Israel to his people. He said, it's yours. But they had to take it. Bless God, they had to take it. They had to lay hold on it and dispossess the enemy. And you're going to have to lay hold on that death and dispossess the enemy. Not my child, you're not. Not my body, you're not. In Jesus' name, not mine, you're not. Hallelujah. God said I had some authority. Now take it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Remember, I told you the difference between Abraham and Job and their covenants, and they lived about the same time. Abraham and Job were contemporaries. And I know Job is the oldest book in the Bible, but you look at what Job did. From the time he got struck, he just said, oh, woe is me. Oh, Lord, I wish I died as a baby. I cursed the day I was born. And he just kept on. Abraham called those things that be not as though they were. He considered not his own body now dead, being about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. He didn't have the book of Hebrews to go and find out what was said. You understand? He was a father of faith, and he believed God. And it didn't matter what happened. It didn't matter what the situation looked like. He was married to an old woman. You understand? Hallelujah. I mean, she couldn't even have babies when she was young. God said she's going to have a baby. And he believed God. Hallelujah. He believed God so strong that woman was turned around and kings were chasing her. And she was an old woman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Did you ever hear such? Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, there is no reason you shouldn't get healed. Get your eyes off what's happened to anybody else. Get your eyes off what the doctor's telling you. Get your eyes off what your body's doing. Hallelujah. Be bold. Stand up for your rights as a covenant partner of God and demand that your body get in line. You hear me? Hallelujah. Demand that body get in line. You say you don't know what pain I have. Come against that pain. There's a stronger name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You say, well, you probably never had any pain. I've had some pain. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. I'm praying with a little girl right now going, she's not a little girl. She's a lady who has cancer. And she had so much pain and she would cry. And I'd go in there and just call the name of Jesus and call the name of Jesus and call the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. She's still got a lot of symptoms of cancer, but she don't have any pain. Right. Hallelujah. See, we don't know what belongs to us and we try it. You can't try this. Hallelujah. You got to do it. This is a lifestyle. It's like dieting. You know, if you're just going to diet, you know, you may lose a little, but you'll gain it back if you don't change your lifestyle. Hallelujah. And you got to change your lifestyle. Quit going by what you see. Hallelujah. Quit going by what those tests prove. It don't matter what that test said. Hallelujah. Is God bigger than the test? Hallelujah. Was God around before that test ever existed?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just demand your body get in line. The sickness may be physical, mental, or emotional, but if you need a healing, go after it. It belongs to you as a covenant believer. Glory. There's a scripture that promises us everything. You know, whatever it is, there'll be no miscarriages among you. You'll not cast your young before the time. It says that with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my great salvation. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 1. Now, I'm going to read you a lot of scripture tonight, and they're not going to be up there. Because I hope, how many of you brought your Bible? I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't, scoot over by somebody who's got one and look on theirs. Or you can borrow mine, but we're going to use a lot of scripture. And you need to take some notes because this will help you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1, 5 through 6. Bless his heart. Sometimes I send those scriptures to Tim and it's like I send him a small book and he puts it up there for me. But I thought tonight you're going to have to look these up because there's just so many of them. Hebrews 1, verse 5. For under which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee, and again once more will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. This was the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus was separated from the covenant of God, not by his breaking the covenant, but by our breaking the covenant. He took upon himself Adam's breaking the original covenant God made with man when he created him and made him Lord over all his handiwork. See, Adam blew it, but Jesus came and took it back. And then when he rose from the dead, God said, again, you shall be my son, my first begotten. Hallelujah. Do you understand? In the Gospels, he was called the only begotten son. But after he raised, he was called the first begotten from the dead. You know who the second begotten was? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Glory, come on. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. I mean, this is rich, people. This is rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, Adam broke that covenant. And Jesus came by way of his covenant with Abraham into the earth. See, he made a covenant with an old man named Abraham who said he'd believe him. And he got back into the earth. See, when Adam sinned, God couldn't make another man because the earth didn't belong to him anymore. He had given that earth, he had given the world to Adam. Adam sold out. Now, even if he had made another man, it would have been full of sin because what Adam did went clear up, not including heaven, but clear up the heavens and corrupted everything. Hallelujah. So the word, it said Jesus came by way of his covenant with Abraham into the earth. The word became flesh and dwelt among men. Well, come on, people. The word became flesh. His name was Jesus. The word became flesh. He dwelt among men. He took upon himself our breaking the covenant and was separated from God. Can you imagine this wonderful Savior of ours come to earth? He had never seen anybody raised from the dead like that, cut out of hell. You know, I mean, he had raised people from the dead, but he had never seen anybody gotten out of hell. It doesn't say that he ever had. Here's the Son of God, the most precious Son of God, one of the Trinity, going into hell, and God got him out. Hallelujah. And he raised him by the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he took upon himself our breaking the covenant. And he was separated from God. He went into hell. He paid the price for sin. And in the midst of that, the new covenant came into operation. God had already promised Abraham that the gates of his enemies would not prevail against his seed. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the body of Christ. You think cancer came out of the gates of hell? It most certainly did. It didn't come from God. God had already promised that in Genesis 22, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against your seed. That's what he told Abraham. Galatians 3:12 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In the message, it says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. See, it was pronounced by the law. That law brought a curse. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, curses is everyone who's hung on a tree. Through Jesus Christ, God blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing that he promised to Abraham, so that we as believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Isn't that good? Come on, say glory. Hallelujah. I think this is the message. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. That is, of course, it means Christ. This is verse 17. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then would it not have been a result of accepting God's promise? But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Are you seeing this? Yeah. Hallelujah. I want you to get this, how precious you are to God. Do you see that the gates of hell did not prevail against the seed of Abraham? God raised him right up in the midst of hell, defeated Satan, death, and raise Jesus up. Hallelujah. Then Jesus in Hebrews 9:8 said, by these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. I got to slow down so you can catch up with these scriptures. I want you to look these up. The first tabernacle or covenant was still in use. Moses built the first one that had a holy place where people came in to make sacrifice. Then there was the holiest of holies. And there was the Ark of the Covenant in there. God brought in something that was done in blood forever. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Come on. It's something that was done in covenant, could not be broken. Come on, could not be broken. Hallelujah. So it was done forever. Hallelujah. He brought in something that was done in blood forever. The high priest first made a sacrifice of blood for himself. That blood covered his sins so that he could enter in where the Ark of the Covenant was. Then he would take the blood for the children of Israel, and he would put that blood on the Ark. The Ark was a gold inlaid box that had a copy. It had a copy of the covenant. Or the covenant that it had the covenant in there, the stone covenant. It had Aaron's rod that budded, and it had a pot of manna. The Holy Spirit himself dwelt between the cherubims. And if the priest walked in there without the blood of an animal covering him, it would physically kill him. Hallelujah. God always made provision for his people to be healed. There's a tradition that said they tied a rope around the priest's ankle when he went in there, so that if he died, you know, if he wasn't where he ought to be with God and fell over dead, they could pull him out and nobody else would, because they couldn't have gotten him out. Otherwise, anybody who went in there would have died too. But God always made provision for his people to get healed. He gave them what to do to get healed under the old covenant. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. If he am the Lord that healeth thee, he still am the Lord who healeth thee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, they were to go to the temple and see the priest. Remember the 10 lepers? God said, go show yourself to the priest. It always just amazed me. They said, have mercy. And he gave them healing. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, God said, go show yourself to the priest. When they obeyed him, as they went, they were healed. As you start towards your high priest in faith, you'll be healed. Come on. As you start towards your high priest, whoa, glory, hallelujah, you'll be healed. Do you see covenant here? When Jesus went to the cross, there was a curtain hanging between the holiest of holies and the holy place. That curtain was 20 feet high and over 4 inches thick. When Jesus died on the cross, that curtain split from top to bottom. Split. Oh, glory to God. If it hadn't split, we couldn't get into the throne of grace. But when that curtain split, Hallelujah. Jesus said it's finished. That old covenant was finished. Hallelujah. And the new one started. And now you can come boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy to help you in time of need. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. When Jesus died on the cross, I mean to tell you that thing split. Man couldn't even have torn it, but God split that. And now he allows us into the holiest of holies. Hebrews 4:14. Now look it up. Write it down. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. You hold firmly to what you believe. Don't care how much pain is on you. Hold firmly to what you believe. Don't care what that MRI showed. Hold firmly to what you believe. I don't care what if you can't just do anything but move your finger. Hold firmly to what you believe. Hallelujah. Hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness. I love this. I love this. He understands our weaknesses. You understand? He's not against me. It said he understands my weakness. See, sometimes I think I got to take care of my own weaknesses. I've got to take care of that because, you know, God will heal me and all that, but I got to take care of my weaknesses. It says he understands my weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. Hallelujah. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. Hallelujah. When they asked for healing, they got his mercy. Hallelujah. If you need healing, bless God, just seek his mercy. And we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When man's sin had been paid for in the pit of hell, that lamb sacrifice, the Lamb of God, holy, holy Lamb of God, Lamb of God, hallelujah. When the earthly priest Caiaphas put Jesus on the cross, Jesus, our Lamb of God, poured his blood out, and the ground took that blood, and the high priest had offered up the final, oh, come on, people. Do you understand? That was the final sacrifice. Amen. The final sacrifice. He fulfilled that old covenant. Hallelujah. That was the final sacrifice. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, this is good. Hallelujah. The Caiaphas said, you know, this man is coming. Would he die for a whole nation? He didn't realize that he was prophesying. But bless God. And see, God poured that blood out. I hate songs that talk about the spilt blood. None of it was spilt. Anything spilt was wasted. You know, if you spill anything, it's wasted. God didn't spill his blood, people. He willingly poured that blood out. Oh, glory. For me. You can get on in on it if you want to, but I'm talking about me tonight. Hallelujah. He did that for me. Hallelujah. Now, do you think when he paid such a price, I'm going to let it go for nothing? Amen. Absolutely not. Hallelujah. He was the final sacrifice of the first covenant. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant the old covenant was finished. The first covenant. Hallelujah. He shed his blood. The veil was rent. The glory of God left the temple. See, oh, look at this. The glory of God was dwelling on the ark. It dwelt between the two cherubims there. Those cherubims of gold. That's where he dwelt. But when that curtain split and Jesus gave up the ghost, the Holy Ghost left there and got him out of hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, glory to God. He was raised by the glory of God. When that price was paid for our sin, your sin and mine, hallelujah. You know, they used to have a song, it was a gospel song, I should have been crucified. You know, I should have been crucified. People just cry. What good would it have done for you to be crucified? Hallelujah. It wouldn't have done one thing, not one good for you to have been crucified. But when the Son of God, that precious Lamb, was crucified, whoa, glory, I want to tell you something, hallelujah, there was so much power in that blood that it's still saving man, it's still saving woman, hallelujah, it's still, and there's enough there to get you healed, hallelujah. There was blood oozed out of his back when they beat him, and every one of those bruises was for my healing. I love what she said, you know, the 39 stripes, glory to God, 39 different categories of diseases, and he took every single one of them. Hallelujah. He gave, people. He gave. Now you're all begging, oh, God, come heal me. He came. He did his job. Now you receive. Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. You don't have to beg him to do something you've already done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beth's sitting in that chair. What if she kept praying, God, let me sit in the chair. Let me sit in the chair. And she's already sitting there. He's like, well, Goofy, you're in the chair. She's not Goofy, but that's probably what he thinks. You know, Goofy, you've already been healed. What's the matter with you? Receive it. Do you see that? That was the hardest thing. I'm not kidding you. When God began to reveal that to me, I'd been taught something else. And it was so hard for me to realize that it was a done deal. I was still praying, oh, God, come heal. Oh, God, come do something. Oh, God, come. You know, just, oh, God, people, come heal my, or come save my children. He came. It's done. It's done. All we got to do is receive it. Hallelujah. Everything he gave so freely. Hallelujah. Bless God. You know, do you see that when... Let me read you something else. I don't want to get too deep for you here, but stick with me, okay? Hebrews 9:2 says, but it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things of the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Do you see that Jesus took his blood and purified the utensils in heaven? He told Mary, he said, don't touch me, because I've not gone to my father and your father. Something had happened. You understand? The old covenant was not a fatherhood covenant. Under the old covenant, they were servants. Hallelujah. But under the new one, it's a fatherhood covenant. He said, I go to my father and your father. Hallelujah. I love that. Whew. I'm seeing some things as I'm studying this I never saw before. Hallelujah. Something had happened. That old covenant was not a fatherhood covenant. Remember how mad the Pharisees got because Jesus called his father God, he called God his father. In the old covenant, you were a servant, not a son. In the new covenant, we're sons of God. Sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we, as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. See, Adam's sin, I told you, went all the way up to, but not including heaven. Do you see the strength of what God did with Adam and how it affected everything when Adam sinned? In Hebrews 9, starting with verse 8, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all, the only one way to heaven, was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle or covenant was yet standing. See, as long as that old covenant was in place, we didn't have a way into the holiest of holies, which was a figure from the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertained to conscience. See, he could go make those circumcises and or those sacrifices, and he still felt guilty. Because God could not, you know, that blood from that animal could not purify his conscience. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to be guilty about the sins I've done. Hallelujah. I don't even have to be guilty about the sins I'm going to do that I haven't done yet, because Jesus already took care of it. You understand? Now that'll just mess up your theology something awful. But God said past, present, and future, he has taken care of my sin. Hallelujah. I don't have to feel guilty. Hallelujah. Did you ever do something and you beat yourself about 3 days and then you can feel like you can go to God and get forgiveness? But only after you beat yourself about 3 days. You just beat yourself out of time with God. You could go to him the very first day. I always tell people, don't run from Jesus, run to him. Hallelujah. He's not mad at you. He knew you was going to do that. He knew you how ugly you was going to get. Well, he knew that. Bless God. And I've told you before, but there have been times when I've said to God, you knew that. When you called me, you knew how badly I was going to mess up. Now, bless God, if you hadn't wanted me, you shouldn't have called me. And you promised you wouldn't leave me, and I'm not about to leave you, so you're either going to have to fix me, or I'm going to go around acting like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. and bless God. Maybe you think I ain't fixed yet, but honey, you should have seen me a long time ago. And Roy said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I thank God I'm not what I was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Verse 11. But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. See, you had the old tabernacle, now you got the new one. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Come on. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal. You know what that means? Forever. Eternal. That means no end. Oh, glory. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to holler. Hallelujah. Come on. It said, by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Say much more. Oh, you can do better now. Say much more.
Much more.
Hallelujah. Shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal spirit offered himself up without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Your conscience has been purged from dead works. Hallelujah. Quit paying for the sins of everybody else. Hallelujah. Quit paying for the sins that you did years ago. Come on. Let him pay for it. Leave it back there and let us move on. Hallelujah. To serve a living God. He said he came to set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Say, I'm free. You get anything out of this? Well, I am. Hallelujah. See, this is not a religious book. It's a copy of the covenant signed in blood. And it can never pass away because it's covenant. Not one word, not one jot or tittle, it says, shall pass away. Not one comma or period is going to pass away from here because all these things will be fulfilled. It's the word of God. It's covenant. Healing did not pass away. God made a covenant with Jesus promising that he had redeemed us from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? Sickness, disease, poverty, and death. Do you hear me? Sickness, disease, poverty, and death. If you got any of those, bless God, it's under the curse and you've been redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus had no blood in his glorified body, and I'll show you that. He told his disciples in Luke 24:39, he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. Oh, glory. He took that precious blood and put it on the altar. Whoa, and that blood is still crying out, mercy, mercy, healing, healing, mercy, healing. Hallelujah. Whoo, glory. Hallelujah. He placed his own blood in the holiest of holies in heaven. Verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I know I'm reading it again, but you need to hear it. Hallelujah. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? You can't serve God like you ought to if you got a guilty conscience. You just can't. You can't even get healed if you got a guilty conscience. Get that guilt over on Jesus. Hallelujah. And some of you carry around shame. You know what? He hung naked so you didn't have to have shame. Verse 15. For this cause he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Do you realize you've been called? Ha! I'm called. Glory to God. You couldn't have come to Jesus if you hadn't been called. Verse 15. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and his people, so that all those who are called can receive the eternal inheritance that God promised them. See, this is a different translation. This is the New Living. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sins they had committed under the first covenant. Are you called? Yes. Then you can receive eternal inheritance that God has promised. What was the promise? Hallelujah. To be healed, to be saved, to be set free, to walk in victory, to live triumphant, to always win. Hallelujah. Now, this is another translation. It says, the old enjoy Jesus. This is the word of life under the law of Moses. Was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves, the sacrifice under the system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able, this is Hebrews 10:1. But they were never able, wait a minute, I got to find where, to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifice would have stopped. For the worshipers, now listen to me, the blood of these animals could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers who had been purified once and for all, their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But those, glory to God, you're not getting that. You're not getting that. I mean, if that blood of the bulls and goats could have done that, then their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. Well, your sacrifice did do that. But instead, these sacrifices actually reminded them of their sin year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other sin offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures. First, Christ said you did not want an animal sacrifice or sin for sin offerings or burnt offerings, other offerings for sin. No, you were not pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I've come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second one into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. Amen. Covenant. Can you see covenant? Hallelujah. Under the old covenant, verse 11, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which could never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single, well, he don't ever have to do it again, as a single sacrifice for sin, good for all time, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Hallelujah. And there he waits. Whoa, glory. There he waits. Doesn't say, call him down. Come on down and do something else, Jesus. No, it doesn't say that. It said he sits there and waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet, for that by one offering he forever made those perfect, those who were being made holy. He has forever perfected us, the Amplified says. Hallelujah. This is the new covenant. Now listen to me. This is what's yours. This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, saith God. I will put my laws in their heart, and I will write them on their minds. Then he said, I will never remember their sins and lawless deeds again. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And when the sins had been forgiven, there's no more need to offer more sacrifice. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the promise we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now in the day of his return is drawing near. Bev and I went, Pastor Bev and I, we went to see somebody in the hospital, and I was trying to find one of them things to wash my hands, you know, to put. And I saw it in a room, and I thought the room was empty. So we go in there, and here sits the lady. Well, we're not there by accident. Hallelujah. You know, we're led by the Spirit of God. Anyway, we got to pray with her, but she told us her church is in here. Well, that's okay, people, but I'm going to tell you something. You're missing out a whole lot, because he said, let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do. You know what? You need the body. I need you. Hallelujah. So do not throw away this confidence, trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all he's promised. I'm saying to some of you, you stood and stood and you believed, and it just looks like it ain't working. But I'm going to tell you something, it is. It says you have need of patience. Now you need patience. Hallelujah. Don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Do you see what belongs to you? Do you see that you can get your healing purely because it belongs to you? Do you see that there's nothing wrong with God? And there's nothing wrong with God's word? And I'm here to tell you tonight, there's nothing wrong with you, so get healed. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. You say, well, I know there's nothing wrong with God, and I know there's nothing wrong with God's word, so it must be me. Did Jesus do what he needed to do to make you clean? Okay, then there's nothing wrong with you. Get healed. It's been paid for. Jesus took care of what was wrong with you. Oh, glory. Come on, come on. I can't hardly stand that. Jesus took care of what was wrong with you. Hallelujah. Get healed. Hallelujah. It's been paid for. By teaching otherwise, we are putting a limit on God's people, and we're keeping them from getting healed. I used to teach 7 reasons why people don't get healed. I don't teach that anymore. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm limiting God's people. Look at the devil. Look at cancer. Look at sickness. Look at disease. And tell it, I don't belong to you. I'm in covenant with Almighty God. And it's been ratified in blood. I'm a blood covenant partner with Jesus. And I sit with him in heavenly places, expecting till my enemies be made my footstool. Sit there, honey, expecting that enemy, that stinking cancer, to be made your footstool. That's an enemy of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the only thing that the devil should be to you is a place to rest your feet. Did you hear me? I said the only thing the devil should be to you is a place to rest your feet. He has made us kings and priests, and we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Put your feet on his head. Hallelujah. Write him a note on the bottom of your shoe. Sucker. I don't even like that word, but that's the only word I can think of that's applied to him. Hallelujah. And I don't go saying that word. I don't like that word. Hallelujah. But you can write big dummy or something on the bottom of your feet. Let him read it. Keep looking down, honey. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you this. Hallelujah. Any blood covenant that was made by the drinking of blood was not God. You hear me? God has made a demand that no blood of any man or animal should be drunk by any human being. You're not to drink blood. And if you've been into a covenant where they drank blood, you need to call Pastor Bev. She can get you delivered. God used a substitute for blood, which is wine. But he said the life of the blood is in the flesh. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I'm sorry. And we know from Genesis 4, Abel brought, and I want to show you something. I just saw that. This is so good. You got to listen. Genesis 4:4, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions, and the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and his offering. God had respect for Abel and his offering. No sacrifice is any better than the motive behind the person that brings it. Yeah. Hear me? Don't just plunk your offering in the basket, pray over it, you know. Bring it to the Lord and worship him with it. Now, I'm going to get on the toes of your sacred calf here, but, you know, we're going to knock some sacred calves over. But stick with me, okay? God was not down on Cain because he didn't bring a lamb. How many of you were taught that? I was taught that God didn't accept Abel, or Cain's offering because it didn't have blood in it, and it was something from his own hands, and God wouldn't accept it because he didn't bring blood. Well, you know what? That can't be true. Let me show you. God was not down on Cain because he didn't bring a lamb. If that was true, all the rules of tithing in the Bible are wrong. God said, bring the first fruit of ground. Didn't he say that? Isn't that what Abel or Cain did? Yeah. But it said, as for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant and looked sad and depressed. Do you understand that Cain came with an attitude? God had no respect for his attitude. Then he had no respect for his offering. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad when you get revelation? I thought that was so good. Abel brought a lamb. It didn't say he killed it. But in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11:4, in the Amplified, it said, prompted, I'm going to skip that word. I don't know what that is. By faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified to him that he was righteous, that he was upright and in right standing with God. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gift. Though he died, yet through the incident, he is still speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Actuated is that word. Did you ever just see a word and you couldn't pronounce it? Hallelujah. People have assumed that he brought a better object than Cain did. Do you see, it was not what Cain did with what he brought. You know, it was not what he brought, it was what he did with what he brought. And look how sweet God is. God warned him. He said, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why do you look so sad and depressed and dejected? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, then sin crouches at the door, and it's a desire for you, but you got to master that. He's saying, boy, if you wake up and get on your faith, I'll receive your offering. And you can take authority over that sin. But if you don't, sin will take authority over you. Now, that's Evelyn's translation, but I thought it was good. The reason God didn't have respect for his offering is because he didn't have any respect for Cain. He didn't come in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to believe God or to please God. Glory to God. When you come for a healing, you have to come in faith, faith in your covenant. Then Cain killed his brother. And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Somehow blood speaks in the spirit realm, because the Bible says that Jesus' blood speaks. God can hear the voice of the life that's been poured out. The life of the blood can be heard in the realm of the spirit. See, Abel brought faith to God. Then I told you that, Cain killed his brother. He just was real naughty. Awful. Killed his brother, and yet God cut a covenant with Cain, put a mark on him so nobody killed him. Hallelujah. Don't let the word of your covenant slip. Stay in faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. It is the covenant. It's God's word toward us. God started in the Garden of Eden with a covenant to meet all man's needs. Man walked out of it, and God could go no further. He made another covenant with man, and man blew it, and God could go no further. He made a covenant with Abraham then, which said, I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. I care only what the covenant says. When it says, what it says counts, and it's going to be that way and no other way. We're going to have to say that, people. Abraham was the first one who would have that kind of faith and teach it to his kids. Hallelujah. Teach it to his kids. He was able to cut a covenant that would last 1,000 generations. And we're involved in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I hear Carly talking about her kids, and she teaches those kids what she's learning here. That is so neat. So many people, I want to let my kids decide for themselves. You better teach them what you've learned. So why did God cut the covenant to start with? Why did he do it the first day Adam sinned? He killed an animal and he made coverings for Adam and Eve. Let me tell you this, Isaiah 43:22-26. Yet you have not called upon me, much less toiled for me, O Jacob. But you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep and goats for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not required you to serve with an offering or treated you as a slave by demanding tribute or worried you with offering incense. You have not brought me sweet cane with money or satiated me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you've only burdened me with your sins. You've wearied me with your iniquities. And this is so good. See, he's telling the old people, old covenant people. Here it comes. I am he that blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Now listen to this. Verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Remind me of your merits. Let us plead and argue together. Set forth your case that you may be justified and proved right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I never understood that, why he said, for my own sake. And I'd hear people pray, oh, for Jesus' sake. And I'd think, well, it ain't for Jesus' sake. It's for mine. You know, it's for my sake. But God was so tired of sin. He blotted out our sins because God is not a loser. He wouldn't let his man go to hell. Hallelujah. God's not a loser. He doesn't go around killing his own covenant partners. He does not get glory by slapping you around to teach you anything. The reason the devil could put that stuff on us is that we're ignorant of our covenant, ignorant of who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, and the reason for what we have in Christ. Hallelujah. But you're not ignorant anymore. God's people, it said, perish for lack of knowledge. We don't have to be sick anymore. Jesus is here. He walked and talked the covenant. The daughter of Abraham ought to be loose because she's in covenant. She ought not to be bound. The leader of the synagogue got all out of joint because Jesus healed on the wrong day. He had 18 years, 7 days a week to heal and had done nothing. He had the same book of Isaiah and the same book of Leviticus, chapter 25, that Jesus read and preached out of. Healing happens when you rightly discern the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's in Luke 13. And I'm going to stop there. But this woman, in verse 10, it said, now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman there who had, for 18 years, had an infirmity caused by a spirit. And in the Amplified, it says, a demon of sickness. Come on. You got a sickness, a demon of sickness? She was bent over completely, completely bent forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or look upward. She was like this. I mean, she couldn't look upward. She was like this. She couldn't even bend her neck like this man that Bev was talking about. Couldn't bend his neck. She's like, oh, not this woman being a daughter of Abraham. Be loosed. Hallelujah. When Jesus saw her, called her to him and said, woman, you're released. She's still like this. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. You're still saying I'm sick. He said, himself took your infirmities and bore your diseases. And you're still saying what the doctor says. Right. Hallelujah. Come on. He said, woman, thou art loosed. You're released from your infirmity. Hallelujah. She's still like this. Hallelujah. Some of you are still like this, but look what he did next. Then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was made straight, and she recognized and praised and thanked God. Hallelujah. But then, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I first read this, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, I thought, what's her being a daughter of Abraham got to do with anything? Covenant, honey. Covenant. Hallelujah. If you're bent over like this, glory to God, Jesus said you're loosed. When we lay hands on you tonight, glory to God, just come up here to get loosed. Come on, are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Jesus said you're loosed. Jesus said by his stripes you're healed. You're loosed from that depression. Hallelujah. You may say, well, I still feel depressed. Jesus said you're loosed. You may look like this, but you're loosed. Hallelujah. Take him at his word. Get to Jesus. Because when you get there, hallelujah, when he lays his hands on you through us, hallelujah, you're going to be healed. Yeah. Manifested. You understand? Hallelujah. Done at Calvary, but manifested tonight. Come on. Come on, I want my leaders to come up here. Hallelujah. Don't wait till this anointing lifts. This anointing is great. Hallelujah. Some of you are down like this. Hallelujah. But Jesus said you're loosed. You hear me? Jesus said you're loosed. Jesus said you're loosed. When she got to Jesus, hallelujah. When she got to Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. Well, glory, hallelujah. When he laid his hands up, well, come on. I need some men up here to catch. Come on, Joe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless God, bless God. Hallelujah. Whoa, whoa. Oh, not this daughter. I'm not this son of God. This daughter, this son of Abraham, be loosed from what Satan has bowed her low with tonight. Hallelujah. You may come up here like this, but glory to God. Hallelujah. God, when they get their hands on you, you're going to be loosed. You're going to be loosed. In Jesus' name, you're going to be loosed. You hear me? You're going to be loosed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Now, if you need a healing, get up here. Whoo, hallelujah. Whoo, glory. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. George, are you loosed? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Take off, buddy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Neil Abakio Sanda. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit move from the holiest of holies. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Now, you know what? I'm gonna pray a prayer over you and dismiss you, but if you need healing, get up here. Don't leave here without having hands laid on you, because you may be all bent over, but when you get to Jesus, when you get to these people, now I'm not calling us Jesus, but we got Jesus in us. And when you get up here and hands are laid on you, glory to God, you'll be healed. Hallelujah. It'll manifest. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over each one of these. God, I send the power of God with them. Lord God, as they go, Lord, you promised never to leave them nor forsake them. I pray, God, that you seal this word into their hearts, that they might not ever turn their back on you. God, that they might not ever lose fact of what you're doing, Father. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God bless you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. Whoa. Hallelujah. 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 Whoa. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Depression. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Not bent over anymore. Not bent over anymore. Hallelujah.